So I used to work with a guy who was quite a drinker. We used to work with a lot of people who are quite drinkers, but one person in particular jumps to mind. He got into a lot of trouble, and his drinking was part of a much bigger problem, a much bigger issue. He had significant mental health issues. He had family issues, all of it all tied together, kind of hard to pull apart from each other. One day I was talking with him, and I happened to look at his wrist, and I noticed that he was wearing a woman's watch. And it struck me as a bit odd, and I confess I wondered if he'd stolen it, so I asked about it. And he put his hand over it, and he paused. And then removing his hand a little bit so he could look at the watch, he smiled, and he said that his mother gave it to him. And I knew it was true. In that brief moment, I was blessed to see the flash of something that I had never seen before. For just a second there, as he smiled and had a far-off look in his eyes, he wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't his mental health problems. He wasn't any of the issues he carried with him, any of the issues I'd always seen whenever I'd spoken with him before. For just that instant, he was a child that his mother had whispered to, had sang songs to, had cuddled with. He was a child that his mother held as most precious. With all her hopes and fears and joys and sorrows of what could be and what would be. It wasn't long before I saw him again, and again I saw him as I always saw him. But I'll always remember that moment. I think of Mary singing her song. I think of the joy in her heart as she anticipated the child that was growing inside of her. I think of her holding all the hopes of her child in her heart, all the joy, all the anticipation, all the wonder. And I think of all those hopes, all that love being so powerful within that she couldn't contain it, and she just burst into song. A song that spoke of the world transformed as her own undoubtedly would be. And I think of that child who would receive all of this. A child who would end up on a cross with his mother right there. A criminal charged with a crime against the state, a man executed in the most brutal of fashions. And I wonder about those onlookers. As they shouted out curses and mocked him, did they know that his mother sang when she was pregnant? As they nailed him to the cross, did they know about him being held as precious above all other things? As they gambled over his clothes, could they even imagine him, a tiny baby, shivering in the cold, giving that full-bodied, red-faced, raspy newborn baby cry while his mother wrapped him in whatever she could find, perhaps even her own clothes, to keep him warm and close? With the jeers directed at this criminal, this blasphemous traitor, could these jeers compare to the songs that his mother sang to him, that same mother who was now watching him die? A little over a year ago, I preached a sermon reminding you that you came from somewhere. And I guess this is sort of the sequel. Because today I offer a reminder that everyone came from somewhere. And as Christians, the source of our love is to remember that. The source of our love is to remember that everyone came from somewhere. To look at those doors and to see not someone addicted to meth, but to see the child of someone who sang songs with excitement at their birth, who held them and cradled them and cooed to them, to see them as the bearers of someone's dreams and wishes and hopes, or perhaps to see them as some child who never had that. And that should speak even louder to our own sense of love. Because I have to tell you, if my sons get caught up in cycles of addiction, I would hope to God that someone would see them that way. The love of Christianity, the love we are invited to embody and live and share, is the love of looking at the cross and seeing something precious there. Seeing something of value. Seeing something beloved. Now, there's more to it than just that. This isn't just an ethical mandate. Well, you better love people. This is a reordering of the whole system. Mary's song isn't just a song of celebration. Mary's song is a prophecy. It is prophetic in its best form. We mustn't excise the public and political nature of the words she's speaking. In the Magnificat, she is proclaiming nothing short of ultimate and absolute revolution. And Luke wouldn't put it in there if he didn't think it was true. There is an alternative vision built out of the imagination of God, and it's this alternative that Mary sings about and sees embodied in the life she is carrying inside her. And it's an alternative grounded in that very love embodied by Mary and her soon-to-be-born child, Jesus. Make no mistake, the love embodied in Christ, the love we are invited to bear witness to on the cross, is absolutely revolutionary. To look at anyone and be able to see in them their humanity, to see the child within, has profound political ramifications. Jesus knew this. He knew how brutal the system of oppression was on the people that he ministered to. He knew the tax burden Rome had taken away, livelihoods, taken away farms that had been in the families for generations. He knew the cost of the Roman system and the temple authorities. He knew the feeling people in the outlying cities and towns had, people who had seen their families killed or decimated or impoverished when the Romans came in. He knew this, and he knew how people felt about it. And this is why he had to keep stymieing the revolutionary calls put upon him, why he had to keep telling everyone not to say a word, to keep it all a secret. Because in those days, if word got out, if that zeal in the way people wanted to latch onto that zeal left the control of Jesus, left his community, well, the most widely accepted way to oppose Rome was to join the zealots in violence. And he didn't want this. He didn't want his movement to become like the zealots. If you overthrow a government with violence, then violence will be in the DNA of whatever system or whoever replaces it. Jesus knew that the only way to live in the kingdom of God was to inaugurate such a kingdom, not through violence, as would be the temptation of the day, of any day, not just then, but today as well. The only way to live in the kingdom of God was to inaugurate it through love. To look at people and to see them the way God sees them. To know them for the fragile, vulnerable children that all of us are. That Mary would have seen on the cross, who, looking up at her dying son labeled a criminal deserving of the most loathsome punishment society could come up with, Mary would have only been able to see the manger and the stable and felt his soft baby skin and heard his cries. That's what Jesus did. That's why he prayed for the Romans as much as for the outcasts. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He would not inaugurate the kingdom of God with violence, but with love. The love of God that his mother, I imagine, taught him so readily. And this isn't just for them to do. As in, yeah, they need to start seeing others as the beloved children that they are. This is absolutely for us. We need to look at whoever, look at Donald Trump, and see the fragile, vulnerable babe that he was and is. That he was held softly by his mother or father or no one. I don't know. But that only adds that much more weight to it. We need to look at Justin Trudeau, see that same innocence. We need to look at all our politicians, whether we like them or dislike them. The revolution of Mary's Song is not simply a shift of a group in which group is in power. It is a fundamental shift in what power even is. It is a fundamental shift in how we do everything and anything. It is a fundamental turning in how we see the world. Not us in them, not good and bad, but one kingdom of God, one household of God in which all our brothers and sisters born of the earth, all vulnerable, all weak, all fragile, all tremendously precious in the eyes of our Creator and eternal parent. We need to look at anyone and everyone, anyone who scares us, anyone who pisses us off, anyone who we roll our eyes toward or take a deep breath when we see coming and say, oh God, here we go again. We need to look at them and see them as the children with all the possibility and hope in the world. This is the only true revolution there is. Every other revolution in history leads to just more of the same. It yields the same results, sometimes sooner, sometimes later, but always back to here. And so we turn to Mary. Marvelous, wondrous, loving, compassionate, prophetic Mother Mary, whose song for her child and her God and whose tears for her child and her God remind us of the love that we as Christians are invited to bear and share with the world. Remind us of the only thing that will change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.